I'm doing to you right now? And I felt his heart's answer was, they don't. And he said, they don't want the real me. He was very sad. He said, they say they want me, but would they want what you're feeling right now? And what I was feeling was not warm and fuzzy. It was uncomfortable. He said, if they were standing up singing worship songs, and this is like a big church where everybody's, you know, and there's nothing wrong with singing and clapping and standing up, that's fine. But he said, would they still be standing if I did this to them? And I immediately saw the undignified scene of this entire large church falling on their faces, and because they couldn't stand. And he said, would they want this? And again, I knew they would say it's an embarrassment, because what if the visitors come and they don't understand what's happening, and the visitors might not come back. I knew they wouldn't want it. I knew it would be rejected and undignified. And he said, my people don't want the real me. And then there was a little bit more, and that's not relevant to this conversation, but the point is, I got scared because the presence got so powerful. It got so strong that I became afraid I would die under this power. And I said the words, Lord, I can't take it anymore. And the second I said that, just like a cloud is blown away, his presence, it didn't just disappear instantly. It blew away like a cloud. It just faded gradually. And for the next half hour, my legs were still tingling, as if you were coming out of an anesthesia with your legs. Like, I still couldn't, I could feel them gradually over the next half hour. And then I recovered and everything was, and I journaled it. And there's, you know, that for this purpose, that's all I want to tell of that encounter. I regretted for the next 11 years saying the words, Lord, I can't take it anymore, because who knows what he might have shown me. And I was in his glory. And I might not ever, ever have that again, you know? You don't know. Some things are once in a lifetime, you know? And so for the next 11 years, I said, oh God, if you ever, ever visit me again, I won't send you away. Even if I die, if I perish, I perish. So I waited 11 years before I ever felt his glory again. And, you know, that's just like, please don't send him away no matter how uncomfortable it gets kind of thing, because you don't want to wait 11 more years. Some of us don't have 11 more years, you know. Never mind. That's, cancel that, delete. Okay, but we don't know how long we have. Let's put it that way. So anyway, okay. The glory is not comfortable. Now, Dave, I hope you don't mind me. If I misquote this, I want you to correct me. But Dave had a very powerful word yesterday in Shabbat meeting and our Saturday morning prayers. He had a word that was incredibly powerful, and I would like to paraphrase it, and I'm sure he will help me if I miss anything. He was speaking on the Lord's behalf, and what he said was, you have been crying out for a long time for revival to come, for my glory to come, for an open heaven. People think I'm slow to act, or I'm delaying. I'm holding back. And why do we have to keep pleading with him for him to come? And he's just delaying. And the word was, I'm not delaying. I'm not slow to answer these prayers for an open heaven and my glory and revival. I am carefully preparing my people so my glory won't destroy them. Essentially, he said, I'm laying a groundwork in you, training you in humility, in holiness, in righteousness, in seeking my face desperately. I'm preparing you because when my glory comes, it's dangerous, it's uncomfortable, it's not what people think, it's not warm fuzzies. It's hard to be in the glory. It's wonderful, but it's hard. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like it's something you want, but you don't want. You want it, but you run away. Now, in the Bible, his glory, his wrath, and his holiness are all connected to each other. Do you understand that? His holiness killed Aaron's two sons. When they burned up with that fire, because they offered strange fire. They abused their priestly role. That, you know the story in Leviticus 10. We've studied it, strange fire. They were burned to death by fire that came from heaven. That was his holiness that killed them. When Ananias and Sapphira lied to Peter, but really lied to the Holy Spirit about their offering of property, It was God's holiness that killed them. So do you understand that his holiness and his wrath are somehow connected? When Nita Johnson asked him 20 years ago, he showed her his holiness in a similar, not exactly like mine, but the same idea. And she said, "Lord, if you're so anxious to reveal your holiness to your people, why don't you do it now?" And he said, "Many of my children would die needlessly if I did it now. They're living in sin, and they would die needlessly if my glory came now." That's biblical. That is biblical. So he's not slow, he's eager, but where are we ready? Now, through breaking our hearts and humbling ourselves and weeping and repenting, that's one of the ways we get ready. Because the lowly and the contrite he will not despise. And his glory will not destroy those who are already of a humble, broken, lowly nature. His glory will bless them. It will still be hard to bear. But his glory will only destroy those living in secret sin, the lofty, the proud, and the haughty, and the arrogant. And I don't necessarily mean by physical death. I'm not trying to paint like an overly exaggerated picture, but his glory really is dangerous because he's a holy God, and our flesh is flesh. And you know, when Peter said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. I don't know how you just made these boats fill up with fish, but I'm a sinful man. Go away." It's hard being in the presence of a holy God. Now, I want to say this about repentance and weeping and the National Day of Prayer. The Lord actually this morning led me to the book of Nehemiah. And I don't have time to read a lengthy passage from Nehemiah, but if you could just turn to it. In Nehemiah, about 50,000 Jewish people had come back from the Persian Empire to Jerusalem. And Nehemiah built the walls. He rebuilt the walls. And you remember that there was much opposition to the building of the walls, and I'm not going to go over that right now. But after the walls were built, Ezra the priest stood.